The following panel is brought to you by the Sundance TV headquarters at the 2018 Sundance Film Festival. Enjoy.
All right, let's bring up to the stage. We'll start with, who are we starting with? That's a good question. Who wants to come up first? Colt, we have guest star Colt Prattis.
Am I sitting?
There we go. And then we have, is Andrew next? We have director Andrew Ahn. And let's do co-creator and co-star, Shauna Stern. And then co-creator and co-star, Josh Feldman. All right, guys, here we are at the Sundance Film Festival. I want to start with Josh and Shoshana. And just really, for the people who have not seen this close or not maybe not have heard about it, if you could just talk a little bit about how you started it, how you started with the show, where it came from, how you got your ideas, and really what was the genesis of the show.
Josh tells that story better than me, so yeah, I'm going to take this one. We became really close friends about 4 years ago. Shoshana had already been acting for a while at that point, and I had moved to LA to focus on my writing career. Nothing was really happening for me at that point, and Shoshana told me that she had a script that she wanted to share with me. I hadn't shown that to anyone yet at that point, let me just put that out there. And so I read it and I said, we should work together, we should do some type of collaboration. We were already good friends and we thought maybe we could write something, you know, similar based on ourselves, our own story. So we filmed a pilot on YouTube for $250. We asked a lot of favors from a lot of friends. We put it out. And a Kickstarter for it. And then Super Deluxe found us, and they funded a five episode web series. And so we brought that here to this film festival last year. And because we had the opportunity to show the web series here at Sundance last year, Sundance Now saw it, and then the rest is history. So now we have a full first season of a show. Can you believe it, Shoshana? No, I really can't, no.
So you guys were here last year and you had a terrific experience with the show that you brought. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between last year and this year and what it's been like now coming with this new show to Sundance?
Well, we don't have to sell the show this year. That's one part, that's one big difference. It's a lot less stress coming from that. We're able to really just enjoy and, you know, relax. Sundance Now has been taking such good care of us. We feel so loved and valued. We're really able to just be present and be here in the moment and really just enjoy the whole experience. So it really feels like it's almost my first Sundance experience because of that. I'm not so much in my head. I'm able to just really be here and enjoy every minute of it. It really feels full circle. The last time we were here with a web series. We hadn't met our wonderful team yet, Andrew, Colt, everyone else involved. So just a lot of reflection has been happening this year.
Very cool. Now, Andrew, you have been to the Sundance Film Festival before. You had a terrific film here 2 years ago called Spa Nights. What has it been like for you to come back to Sundance and now not with an independent feature, but with an episodic series? What was that like for it?
I mean, it's similar, right? I don't have to sell it.
That's true.
So there's less stress, and I've been really enjoying myself. And actually, maybe more significantly, this trip for me, you know, it's really great to have Josh and Shoshana here with me, you know? And I was so honored that they invited me to be a part of this show and a part of this experience. And I just really want to you know, I wanted to bring their vision to life, and I want to support them and their career and what they want to do. And so for me, like being here, when I came here with Spa Night, I felt like it was a lot of like me. And then here, it's just like, no, it's like we're together, and I really want it to be about Josh and Shoshana and the amazing work that they've done.
That's terrific. And
but he is the king of Park City. He's the most popular person here in Park City. Everywhere we go, someone goes out to him, hi, Andrew, hi. So I feel very lucky to just be sitting here next to me right now.
Yeah, I have to say, Andrew is pretty popular in Park City, and it is because he's probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And also a fantastic director, which we'll get to. But Colt, I want to talk to you real quick about your experience with the show. I understand coming into the show, you had some experience with ASL. Can you talk about how that helped inform your character and how it helped you kind of integrate yourself with the cast and crew?
Absolutely. I had a very small amount of experience with ASL. I had done a production of High School Musical, they know this story, and I had worked with Jeff Calhoun, who had worked on, who works a lot with Def West, the theater company, and I come from a theater background. And somebody that was in the show had just done a show with him, and I became friends with him, and I became so enamored with the concept of watching Jeff would stand in the back of the house at the theater and give notes, and to Ben, to this actor, and I was like, they have a connection none of us have, which kind of led me to what you were asking, which is being a part of this, you're introduced to a whole new culture, a whole new language, and there's this whole set full of people that are actively listening because sign language asks you to be active and asks you to really pay attention. It asks you to sit up and not just, you know, kind of hear things. You have to listen. And it's been incredible. It's been life-changing, and I'm so honored to be a part of something so groundbreaking. So, yeah.
I remember when Colt came in to audition, he had sent us like a video of him saying like, hi, like,
because my agents, you know, were like, they wanna see like how your signing is, and I was like, oh no. And so I was like, well, I don't wanna go in and waste their time, like, if it's not as good as what they need. So I just went home and wrote out a monologue that was just, this is what I know, and this is why I think it's so beautiful, and as a dancer, like, what it means to me, and I would love to be a part of this, but regardless, I just think what you're doing, what you've written is incredible and moving, and so.
We were texting, and like, Josh was like, oh, his signing's pretty good, and then I was like, yeah, and he's real cute, too. and then when Colt came in.
We met him, and then when he came in, he came and do a reading with us, and I was like, oh, he smells so good, after I hugged him. And that line made it in the show, actually. And it's also really important, you know, when we were casting the role of Ryan in particular, you know, we wanted someone, we had to believe that Ryan is in a relationship with Michael long enough to be able to fall in love and be engaged. So you have to be able to sign to, you know, a certain level of fluency. So we got really fortunate with Colt.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's so interesting because Zach Guilford, who plays Kate's fiance in the show, his experience with communicating and ASL is a little bit different. Can you guys talk about how you use that as part of his character arc?
Well, Zach developed his own version of sign language. We call it ZSL, Zach Sign Language. He's very fluent in that mode of communication. And I'm conversational in ZSL, so I'm still working on that. He's very motivated. He tries so hard. He really does. You know, I can understand everything he's saying when we're one-on-one with him, but it's not exactly American Sign Language. not really. But it really worked out fine because, you know, part of Danny's arc as a character is he's not that fluent in the same language as his fiance is. And it's tough when there's that language barrier, especially when you have an emotional situation come up, you know, in any type of heightened situation where you really want to express yourself in your native language. You know, it's natural for Danny to speak English, it's natural for Kate to use American Sign Language, so they have that clash there. And it shows this more authentic layer to the show. And it shows it's more authentic that Zach is fluent in ZSL and not ASL.
Yeah.
But really, we're honored to work with him as well. I'm a big fan of Friday Night Lights. And really, we had no idea who we were going to cast to play the role of Danny. You know, we make him go through a lot of really tough things as a character. I mean, on page, it would be really easy for the audience to hate Danny. But we didn't want the audience to hate them. You know, we're doing all these terrible things to him. We don't want him to be hated. So we had to find some way to make the audience feel for him or find some kind of connection with him. So we're trying to figure out who could take that role on. And with Zach's personality, he's obviously, you know, we needed someone who like had obviously played football in high school or could take on that persona. We're like, what's a good football show? And we thought of Friday Night Lights instantly. And that's one of my favorite character was the one that Zach plays on that show. And so I was like, oh my God, him, that's exactly who we need. So when we started writing it over, I kept seeing him in my face. That was the actor. I'd already picked him for Danny, and we sent him the offer, and he said yes. We were blown away. We were thrilled.
When you are writing, this is for Josh and Shoshana, when you are writing the scripts, what is your process like writing for Kate and Michael? Josh, do you write for Michael and Shoshana, do you write for Kate? Do you write for both characters? What is the process like for you?
We both write for both characters. It's nice to have, you know, a partner when you're working on a script where you can get different perspectives from time to time. We would often, you know, we'd break the storyline, we'd take a minute, we'd do our own thing for a minute, and then we'd come back together and we kind of merge the craft. And the ending result was always from both of our works coming together. Sometimes Shoshana would have something to say about Michael, I would have something to say about Kate, you know, vice versa. What's interesting about watching this show, too, is after everything's been said and done, is that one of Michael's best lines is from me, and some of Kate's best lines are from Josh. So you can really see the characters better when you're not a part of it. You can kind of take that step back and, you know, we really feel protective and we deeply care about both characters. We have an equal investment in both of them. You know, I can stand up for Michael. You know, I can say, that's not how Michael is if someone tries to say something negative about him. It's more, we're team Michael. And he's more team Kate.
Yeah. And Andrew, could you talk a little bit about the look of the show, and also what I find is so fascinating, the sound design of the show, and how you kind of approached that, and how you approached these unique perspectives that the show brings.
Yeah, you know, we worked with a really wonderful cinematographer, Bruce Terry Chung, and then our other cinematographer, Judy Fu, for the first two episodes. And, you know, we thought a lot about, you know, like, what is this world? And we really wanted the world to feel like the world that we live in. You know, it wasn't going to be something super stylized, because my fear then would be that people would watch the show and be like, oh, deaf people live in this other world, you know, and not this one. And so we really wanted to have it feel super grounded. We thought a lot about how the visuals were going to be determined by the characters. And so, you know, Michael is often shot in this kind of nervous handheld, while Kate is often shot more with a static camera because she's more put together and proper, you know. And so we really wanted to take the cues from a character point of view. And then we thought a lot about like the conversations and this idea of people being like in a bubble. And there's an interesting challenge in filmmaking when you are doing scenes in sign language where like you can't be super tight, you know, because then you'll lose the hands. And then you also, there's no such thing as an off-screen line, mm-hmm. you know? Like, if you want to understand the line, you really have to see it. And so, you know, we thought a lot about, like, two shots and how do we see them together in the frame, you know? And so then the challenge became, how do we, you know, pace the conversation, the dialogue? And so that was just like the genius of working with Josh and Shoshana, is that they have such great chemistry that, you know, they really have a great flow to their conversation. It wasn't something that we'd have to like manipulate in the edit. And then I just like recently found out like on this trip that like both of them sign like unusually fast.
mm-hmm. And I will really, say like, really fast, yeah.
There's like a rule where like a page of a script is usually like a minute.
Right.
And I remember like we had this really long scene, and like it was supposed to be like 4 minutes long, and then our script supervisor was like, it's a minute and a half. And I was like, wow. Holy crap, you know? But yeah, and then the sound design, you know, I'll have Josh and Shoshana talk about this, but you know, one thing that we really wanted to do was you know, have it feel like a subjective experience. And so thinking about how Kate and Michael experience sound, that was really important. So we worked with an amazing sound designer, Roland Voss, and the Blair brothers were our composers, to not do what a lot of people think, you know, deafness is, which is to take out all the sound. It was actually to like do more with sound, you know, and I did more in the sound design and the music for this show than I've done with any other project that I've worked on.
That's amazing.
Yes. I have very strong feelings when it comes to sound. I think the visuals are wonderful. You see that in any type of TV or film. That's a great aspect of it. But one thing I always feel like isn't that authentic that I've seen in the past is, you know, coming from the perspective, of course, of someone who lives their real life, getting information through sound. So it's easy for me to understand why people feel like, oh, okay, so from the deaf experience, from their lens, that they're devoid of sound, that's not there. You know, when you see deaf characters on screen, typically all the sound is off, it's completely silent. But I feel like that's not authentic, that's not my experience. I always feel like silence really is an invention of sound. Silence comes from sound. If you don't have an experience with sound, then you don't know what silence is. You know, it's full of something else. Sound is translated in your body, it's in your heartbeat. It's, you know, when you rub your hands together, that friction, the vibrations. You know, really, I don't know what a silent life is like. Josh doesn't know what that's like either. You know, we have really amazing, profound conversations with the sound designer, with Roland Vosk. And so with all of our sound, everyone that was involved in the sound. So each, you know, person took on a character. We had two brothers that worked with us. One took on Kate, one took on Michael. And so to clarify those different relationships they have with sound. And they would ask us questions like, you know, what do you think sound is? What is your experience? So they were asking us all of these questions, and from our answers, that's how they set up the sound design from that. You know, because sound is a different experience for everyone. It really, you know, it depends on what you experience, how you experience that, and it's really interesting.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about was playing Michael's mother in the show is Marlee Matlin. And Marlee Matlin, of course, the Oscar-winning star and actress. And I wanted to talk to you about what she has meant to you and what, in general, representation means to you and how she and what you're doing here, why you think it matters. And really, that's a question for everybody.
The reason we wanted to write this show is because we felt like everyone needs and everyone deserves to see themselves on the screen. No matter how much you can hear, no matter how much you see it, no matter who you love, it doesn't matter what your background is, everyone deserves to see representation of themselves on screen. 95% of disabled characters on the screen are played by able-bodied actors. And even with myself, I've had good luck with the acting I've done and the characters I've been cast before. You know, I've been able to play characters that were written by deaf people. So that's another form of representation. I feel like what's happening right now with representation is really exciting. We're starting to recognize and understand that more and the lack of it and the need to have it. And that relationship of representation is starting to, you know, really, and with Marlee Matlin, we wanted to have that there with Michael's mother. When she was there, when I watched her accept her Oscar on stage, I saw this deaf woman on stage accepting an award. I was able to see myself, and I will never forget that moment. And for Josh, do you want to talk about your experience? When we developed the character of Annie, that's Michael's mother, we wrote that for Marlee. She was a person we had in mind to play that. And we were lucky that when we sent her the material, you know, Michael's relationship with his mother is not that great in the show. So we were hoping we were going to be able to capture that on the screen. And Marlee brought some kind of, you know, really beautiful, you know, form of weakness into it and vulnerability. It was my first time acting, so I was nervous, but I was able to make that eye contact with her, and it was a privilege to work with her. And everyone, I'm excited for everyone to see what she does and what she brings to the character of Michael's mother.
She was such an honor to work with, and you know, just was so like generous on set, and I think, you know, for me it was just so great to see, you know, like a family on screen, you know, in this way. And then Moshe Kasher plays Michael's brother. And it was just like, it's the Thanksgiving episode is one of my favorites.
So Moshe is a coda, which means a child of a deaf adult. So his parents are deaf. So he is fluent in American Sign Language. That's his first language. And one of my, my first out-of-body experiences was when we were filming a scene in the car. I think we were sitting, me and Andrew were sitting there, we were watching Marley and Josh, and we're watching everyone just signing in the car and having their scene all overlapping with Moshe as well, these three characters. And I was like, Andrew, I have never seen this on a screen before. Yeah. So anyways, I'm sorry. Yeah. Continue.
But I mean, I think it's so important, and it's what Shoshana said earlier, where it's like everybody deserves to see themselves on screen, and everybody deserves the opportunity to tell their story. And there's a moment in the first episode of the show where, Michael has written this graphic novel, and someone in the audience says, like, why didn't you make your main character deaf? And Michael says, it would have been harder to sell. And I think that was really true and really blocked a lot of people from being able to see themselves on screen. And so that's why I'm so thankful for Sundance Now, like just believing in this and making that statement no longer true. And I think that's so exciting, and that's a journey that Michael goes through as a character and is happening in the real world today.
I've been writing since I was a little boy, but I have never once written something with a deaf character in it. Short story, script, no matter what I wrote, it never had a deaf character because I never saw that in any of the books that I read or the movies that I saw growing up, so I didn't even know how to go about doing that. I was conditioned by what I'd been seeing on screen and reading in the books, and I had been conditioned to think that it was hard to sell deaf characters. So this was the first time that I've ever written something about deaf people, and I'm really excited to start continuing that. We got a brilliant note from Sundance Now about one scene. They said, we need to understand more about why Michael doesn't do that, why he didn't write a deaf character into his graphic novel. We don't get that. And so we were struggling with that back and forth, trying to explain that. And I said, Josh, why didn't you write a deaf character in this? He said, because it'd be harder to sell. Those were the actual words that I said. So we said, okay, done. Put that in the script. That's got to be in there. It was very meta. Yeah. But that comes from what we've heard before, from our own experience. When we were trying to pitch the show before we shot it, people had said, I don't really understand why the character's deaf. Why do they have to be deaf? We can just sell it and then cast any hearing actor to play that role. Like, why does the show have to be about deaf people? It doesn't need to be about them being deaf. I don't get it. We would often get that response. So it was very meta of us.
But with that, that was one of the things, like reading the script the first time I got the opportunity to do it. It's a beautiful story as it is, regardless of anything else. The show, a lot of times when I explain it to people at first so that they don't just go, oh, I know what it is when you say, oh, it's a show by these two deaf actors, writers, creators. Because then some people will kind of turn off and be like, oh, I get it. You're like, no, this is a show about relationships. Interpersonal, interpersonal relationships. This is family. It's so much about that. And it just happens to take place from the main perspective of two deaf people. And I think that it expands the frame of reference for the audience. And I know we've talked about this quite a bit. It expands the frame of reference for everybody also that gets to work on the set. And our set had it wasn't just like, they weren't the only two deaf people on set. They were deaf people on we had deaf PAs, we had deaf hair and makeup, it was all over the crew, it was everywhere. So you have this community of people that are learning and expanding their frame of reference. And I think when people watch this, thanks to Sundance Now, just going fully in and not even thinking twice about it, just saying, this needs to be told. I think that this is a story, because it's written so beautifully, that's going to reach people in a way that they're not going to expect. I think they're going to learn more than they plan on going into it learning. And a good show does that.
So Andrew, you talked before about framing the language and the motion. Can you talk a little bit about the ASL master that was on set and what the role of the ASL master was?
I'll say a little bit, but Colt spent so much time
in Alexandria Colt, yeah.
too. But, you know, our ASL master was really there to, you know, they say they're kind of like the script supervisor of sign language, but it's more than that. You know, it's really about thinking about how what's on the script gets translated into sign language. And you know, I really relied on our ASL masters and Alexandra Wales, who is brilliant and an amazing actress in her own right, was just so like calm and cool and insightful. And you know, there's an amazing moment in the season. It's like an ASL 1 through 10. And in the script, I was like, I don't know what this is. And you know, Alexandria and Moshe created this beautiful, hilarious story that, like, you know, on the script, I didn't understand it. And then watching it in the show, I'm just like, oh, like, this is such a beautiful moment of witnessing, you know, a part of deaf culture. And that to me is, you know, it was just a joy to work with and collaborate with Alexandria.
She was my lifesaver for so many reasons, but especially, so Ryan's journey, my character's journey is very different from Zach's journey or Danny's journey, in that Danny really doesn't, you know, pick up sign language as much, especially for the amount of time that he's, you know, been there. He's got a ZSL and he just sticks with it. But Ryan is the type of person who does want to learn everything and does want to be in as much, and I think it's about the communication, which is so much, again, of what the show's about, is the communication and or lack thereof, again, within relationships. But so Ryan, over the course of, especially one of the episodes that, you know, has a timeline, but over the course of the season, learns more and more and more sign. And signs are, just like any other language, there's slang, there's different terminology as you learn more and more, and as you become more comfortable with it, there's different ways to sign things. And Alexandria was instrumental in that. I had my first lesson with her, and I remember being terrified going into it, because as a hearing person on set, like, I was like, I don't wanna embarrass myself, I don't wanna, what am I gonna, what if I don't know what's going on, what if I don't understand? And she's just so incredible. First off, she's the most beautiful signer I've ever seen. Her signing is stunning. And she just makes it feel like music. And it put me at ease. And over the course of everything, she just introduced me to so much about the culture just by way of my lines. It's not just a vocabulary. It's not like there's a set vocabulary, that's it. It was incredible. And I mean, there were shots where she would come to one of you and be like, maybe in this, do this just for the purposes of, yeah.
Yeah, she'd bring it up, or maybe put your hands up, maybe put them down. A common misconception is that, oh, you know, an ASL master, they're there to help the hearing actors learn how to sign. But she helped us instrumentally as well. She was helping the director. She was there for everybody. She's a wonderful person to collaborate with. She'd say, hold on, you know, I want to look at the shot, make sure we're able to see the signs right. Okay, now let's move forward. She's really made everything come together. This is a bilingual show. We're using both English and American Sign Language. And it's important for us when we're making decisions, you know, to see in that moment which language we're using in that moment. So with Michael and Ryan, they have these deep emotional moments. They're using sign language because Ryan is trying to learn that language. And then with Kate and Danny, when they're having emotional moments, Danny starts, you know, diverting back to using English. So we want to see those moments where we want to see sign language more in this moment, or maybe English more in this moment. We have to be careful about finding those specific moments and when we make those decisions, and be careful about what language we decide to use in each moment. We really had to map out everything. Alexandria had to do that. She looked at everything to figure out, okay, in this moment we're going to do this, and in this moment, you know, trying to figure out, you know, which characters are signing what part within the show, and really create this arc with it. It was amazing.
I wanted to ask Josh about being a first-time actor, and obviously you are giving a performance for a character you created, And as a writer, you created an incredible, incredible character that really got into a lot of situations that must have been incredibly challenging for an actor. So first of all, of course, you're brilliant in it. What gave you the confidence to do that? And how, what was that experience like, knowing that you were writing it on the page and would have to then act it out later on?
Honestly, I didn't even think about what I was going to have to do as an actor. That wasn't even in my head when I was writing. There was one point where I was writing a scene and I looked at Shoshana and I was like, I'm going to have to do this on set. And she's like, yeah, you're going to have to do that. I'm like, well, shit, okay. But I was so proud of the show and what we created and the story that we wanted to tell that I knew that, you know, I would do whatever my best. I wanted to give it justice. I would do whatever I needed to. So I dove right in. You know, what makes the characters the best? I wanted to try my best and do the best service to the show. So I just dove right in. I really don't know how to explain my experience as a first-time actor, but I mean, it worked out for the best, I think. I think one nice thing about, you know, going through so different, different versions of the show, we started with the YouTube pilot, and then we went to a web series, and then we're here now, obviously. So we really understood the characters so well. We developed a relationship with them. We knew them through and through. We weren't writing it for Josh and Shoshana. We were writing it for Kate and Michael. So we wrote the whole show in 6 weeks. So we didn't have time to be thinking about what we were going to be doing as actors, you know. We wrote it and then realized I'm going to have to actually act all of this material that I wrote. Like, okay, all right, yeah, let's shift gears now and move into that.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's almost like the web series could have been the character's backstory for you. And Andrew, when you saw the web series, did you use that to inform how you treated these characters, or was it completely kind of fresh going into the series as is?
Yeah, the web series, which I think is so funny and beautiful, you know, for me, what I took away from it and knew that I wanted to keep intact was their rapport, you know, and how much they cared about each other. And that to me, you know, I knew was gonna be the kind of substance that could sustain a longer show, you know? I think it was making sure that we kept that and you know, even kind of expanded that, and then kind of decided to look at it from a different perspective. I do think you kind of have to throw some things away, and you know, we worked with different actors. It was a different crew, and there was a different tone that we were looking for. I think that was the challenge of not getting caught up in what was done before, but just like progressing and feeling good about the development and moving with that momentum.
We actually threw a lot of materials out. We kept the characters, but they're a different time in their life. So from the web series to now, we threw out a lot of things, all the challenges they're going through. You know, we realized that we needed to change the actors as well. We love the actors we worked with on the web series, but because the characters had changed so much, we needed more space to play with that. You know, for what was going to work for a 7-minute, you know, web series was not going to be the same for a 22-minute platform. So we needed to do a complete shift with our characters. And at the same time, you know, it was nice. It gave Andrew the freedom to put his own signature on it as well, and to have a really collaborative effort on it. The web series was really light. I hold a very special place in my heart, but it was very light. So we knew that we had a bigger stage to play on now. And you know, we wanted to talk about challenges we faced every day. We wanted it a little bit darker. We wanted to give those characters more room to play and have more challenges to face and things they had to deal with. And so that changed a lot with our characters, having the space to do that.
So I want to open up to questions, if people have questions. Do we have a microphone that we want to? Right there, there we go.
Yeah.
We start right in the front here. There we go.
We do, and thank you, appreciate that. First thing that came to mind, and I don't know if this is in play and part of it or whatever, because I just seen the trailer, is perhaps right here on stage where, as you are signing, narratively, there could have been a narrator, I thought, to be more expressive, to bring the show more life. Was that a consideration from the start? when they began to write or when you began to direct or, you know, others were looking at the show?
Is the question like if there was...
Well, if there's some consideration or thought to having a narrator talking while she is signing, you know, continually through the show, likewise with him, that there would be a female would narrate as she's signing for the audience to get more of what is going
like
on.
Like a voiceover, with them.
Like a voiceover. You think,
yeah, like a voiceover. Something.
I think we were very clear.
I was just curious.
We never wanted that.
Okay.
You know?
That's fair. No, it's just,
that's
something that came to mind, though, immediately when I seen it. So.
No, yeah, it's a very cool question, definitely. But it feels a little bit like cheating, you know? Like with foreign films, for example, for me,
sorry,
the same for me. So when I'm watching a movie, or when I watch movies here in America, when someone's speaking, it's like a foreign film to me when people are speaking. So I don't really delve into the movie as much. No, I forget that they're speaking. I just dive right into the movie and just get captivated by what's happening, by their relationships, by their experience, whatever they're going through. So I'm hoping to introduce that experience that I have watching movies to those who maybe don't know sign language. I want them to watch and forget that the characters are using sign language. I want them to become so, you know, just invested in the show that they're focused on the characters and what's happening. And with a voiceover, that takes away from that experience.
Yeah.
I also want to clarify, the two people over here, they're called sign language interpreters. And on the show, you'll see how interpreters are used from time to time. In personal situations, we don't always use interpreters. It might be more of like a professional setting, like right now, for example, we have the interpreters on stage with us. You know, we want to have access to what everyone's saying. But on the show, we use interpreters for specific situations. We're not using interpreters for every part of our daily lives. And you'll see that come into play.
Yeah, right here.
Hi. Since a large part of acting involves listening, do you feel that, and since in signing there has to be this sort of extra element of attentiveness in order to be with the other person, do you feel like in a sense that gives you an advantage because you're already very tuned into each other? And then also, to you, do you feel like that being involved in this show and in the signing dynamic and so forth has given you any sort of added dimension to your listening as an actor?
Okay. Absolutely, yes. In every facet, this show has grown me as an actor, not just as an actor, but as an artist and just as a person, as a communicator. But it's also, I come from, I had kind of mentioned a theater background and dance, and so expression through movement was a big part of my life, but the thing that I loved was the day that I met them, there is that attentiveness that is so beautifully natural that you immediately feel connected, because as Shoshana used to make jokes with Zach about, like, if I don't, or with Ricky, like, if she doesn't want to talk, she's like, if you're losing an argument, you lost.
Yeah, my husband knows that well. He's familiar with that.
And yeah, it was everything, and it also felt as soon as Josh and I, because we spent a lot of time together in the show, as soon as we started working, there was no buffer zone, there was no anything. It was just, I immediately felt connected, because you do have to be, but it's not hard. And I think that's something people are going to take away from the show, is if you just engage, if you just are active, it's so easy to communicate. And the thing we talked about last night, sorry to sidetrack a little, but the thing that's beautiful as a hearing person about learning sign language is that it slows you down. You're no longer allowed to just spit out whatever you want. And whether it be in an argument or otherwise, which is an interesting thing about Danny and Ryan's kind of, you know, dynamic in arguments, Ryan has to go very slowly because he has to say exactly what he means because he has to sign it. And I think that's a beautiful thing that is necessary in society at large. And especially right now, that's a necessary thing for all of us to slow down a little bit and think about what we're saying and choose our words more carefully. So that was my experience.
I remember during auditions, we were both very surprised. We were auditioning the role for Ryan. You know, the lack of eye contact from some of the men who came in to audition for that role. They wouldn't make eye contact with me. They would, you know, look around. And Colt was the very first person who looked directly at me and gave me that direct eye contact. And I knew that he was going to be able to play that role because that eye contact is necessary to make that connection.
speaking.
Any other questions? Yeah.
So I actually had a friend. And
again, I haven't seen the series, so, but it just reminded me a friend like years ago. She didn't know sign language, but she hooked up with a guy who was deaf. So in the middle of hooking up, basically, they had to write notes to each other in the middle of the act to communicate. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's kind of reminded me, like, is there any point where you actually really do have to write, you know, since the communication gets lost? And the funny thing was, is literally she found the notes years later of, like, you know, the hookup. So it's like, it was like a weird, memorable thing. Maybe you can use it in the show, I don't know. Yeah. So, like, do you really have to, like, write to communicate sometimes? Like, I know. Maybe it is in the show.
Yeah. I text on my phone instead of handwriting. You know, sometimes I will write a message on my phone. Okay. For example, if I meet a hearing person, you know, before we start to get to know each other, if they don't know sign language, I'll try to gesture or maybe lip read, or we'll use our phones back and forth if all other options have failed. I mean, I might have used a notepad like 15 years ago, but. My sister is also deaf, and she's an artist. And she makes work from that, from her conversations of people. She published a book full of all of her conversations with people she's talked with the writings back and forth. So she turned that into an art form for herself.
Yeah, I think the first time Josh and I got drinks, like, it was like passing a phone back and forth. And I like still have the like notes thing on my iPhone. But yeah, you know, what we wanted to do on set was to try and create an atmosphere of like learning. And so, you know, we had a daily like sign of the like a sign of the day on the call sheet, you know, where people could, you know, learn something. You know, it's like toilet. I think like we had like actor,
all the important
you know,
stuff.
Yeah. Hi. You know, but you know, but yeah. So for us, it was about creating an atmosphere of showing that like we wanted to learn and that you know that we're excited about the project. You know.
Any other questions? I have one more question if I could ask it, and that's I want to talk briefly about the title of the show. And I know Josh and Shoshana, you came up with the title, and if you could just share with everybody how you came up with it and what it means, really.
When we first started, when we did the YouTube pilot first, the characters are meeting every Friday. That was the storyline. They met on Fridays, so it was called Fridays. And then when we moved over to the web series, you know, we had a little bit of a bigger space to play. So we called it The Chances. And then when we moved again to this larger platform, to the series, we were talking about it and trying to figure out what the title was going to be. We wanted it to capture a very specific experience within the show. You know, that uniqueness of the community that's shown and the struggles that happen with our characters. It was hard to find a title in English that really captured that experience of community. You know, it kind of felt backwards to us. So we really wanted to find a title that fit the, you know, the community would use. We wanted for our for the signing community. We wanted to fit that community. We wanted to come from there first. So Owen said, okay, fine, you know, what's the title gonna be? And we said, this close. You can see on his hat, Owen is sitting here in the audience. He has a hat with the sign on it. Really, it means best friends. You know, you're really close with someone. They are your very best friend. And there's many different translations for that one sign. This is the hand shape here. But there's no real English translation for that we felt fits. We went through a bunch of different options, and then we finally came to this close. So the title comes from this specific sign.
Well, This Close premieres on February 14th on Sundance Now, sundancenow.com. Please, we hope you check it out. We're incredibly proud of it. And thank you to everyone here today for sharing your experience. Thank you.
Subscribe for more panels from the Sundance TV headquarters at the 2018 Sundance Film Festival.